Good morning. Glad you're here. Just a few quick resources for you. I got some great stuff in. First, if you struggle with fear or anxiety, we're wrapping up the class on Thursday nights, but this is a great resource. I got about 8 of these at half off. So your cost is $5 for a great 31-day devotional. It's very well done. And it's very effective. So these are in Gail's office. Definitely recommend that. And then just outside as you leave to your left is that new counseling resource. Several new titles in, little booklets. This one's on social anxiety. If you struggle with that or know someone that deals with that issue biblically, here's one on chronic pain. And another one, leaving your family behind, preparing for military deployment. Maybe you know someone that could benefit from these materials, and many, many more titles out there are for you for a donation of $3 a piece. If you can't afford it, just take it. That's what they're there for. Let's bow in prayer. Well, thank you, Father, for another opportunity to be together as a family. Lord, thanks, Lord, that you give us something to eat, spiritual food. And thank you for the Word of God that we've already heard in Sunday school and in all the classes, but the way that we've been fed. Now we come again for another course. I pray that your Spirit would be active and allow this clay pot to not get in the way of the Word of God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The title this morning, Sowing and Sleeping. Hey, you all got to get an extra hour so you can relate to the sleeping part, right? Sowing and sleeping. Who doesn't love that? My wife said, I look forward to that day. It's the highlight of the year. You get one extra hour. It's good stuff. This morning, I don't understand a lot about electricity. I mean, if you were to look at this schematic, could you understand and explain this schematic to somebody? Maybe you could. Most of us probably can't. I mean, that's just a lot of gibberish to make sense of all that. If someone were to give you this schematic and say, here's the building, that's the wiring, I've given you all the material you need, go to it. Go wire this building using that right there. Would you want to live in that building that you wired with that? I know I wouldn't want to live in the building if I had to wire it. And honestly, I wouldn't even need that. I'd just wing it. And if the lights came on, I'd be happy. But that's not exactly ideal. Here's an example. I don't understand this, but I can understand this. A few years ago, in my house, I noticed that the electrical outlets were all old. They wouldn't hold the cord. Some of them were just two-prong and needed to be three-prong. They were old, outdated, didn't look good, weren't really effective. I thought, you know what? I can do this. I think I'll just go to Lowe's. So I went to Lowe's and I bought a bunch of those receptacles. I mean, I felt like the man, you know. I'm buying this stuff. I'm going to do this home project myself. The way my house is wired, there's not just one breaker that controls like the whole floor. You have to figure out, all right, what room does this breaker control? And I had found the breaker for some of the rooms, but you know what? I got to the point where I just felt like I could probably just do it with the breaker on. I think I could probably do it and just skip that step, honestly. So I went into the room and I had my equipment and I just got busy. I started taking apart the old one. And things were going okay. I thought, I got this. You just got to be careful, right? You just got to be careful. So I got the new one on, and I was like, that one goes here, and this one goes there, and I'm going to be good. And I put the screwdriver to it, and my finger touched the wire, and you know what happened. I mean, I felt such a jolt of electricity go through my hand, through every corridor of my heart, exploded down into my fingertips and my toes. My head was buzzing. I'm like, recovered from that. I didn't look like that. I felt like that. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go down. I'm going to turn that breaker off. It is not worth it. I mean, that, I never want to do that ever again. I don't understand the power of electricity, but I respect the power of electricity. You get my drift? Well, I find that the gospel of Jesus Christ is very similar to that illustration. I can not really understand the power of the gospel in the sense of how it works in a person's life. But I can explain it. I can explain it to somebody. But it's hard to understand how it exactly works in a person's life. You know, because we all know the gospel as Christians, right? As Christians, someone one day explained the gospel to us. And the gospel is pretty simple to explain. It's, we're born as sinners. If you're sitting here today, that means you're born, you're a human being. And the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We all understand we're sinners. I don't have to teach my kids how to lie or steal or cheat. It just, that's part of being a sinner, right? We don't have to teach someone how to disobey. And the Bible says that because of that, that we are condemned to spend eternity in hell apart from Christ. But you know, the Bible says that God was not happy with that. That's not what he wanted for us. So the only way for us to not go that path is for Jesus to come and die on the cross and pay the price for our sin. The Bible says, but God commendeth or demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ did that for us. Christ lived a perfect life. He died, he rose again, and he lives today forever. And the gospel is simply, will you put your faith in that message? Now, the message is pretty simple, but how that exactly works in people's lives can be a bit of a mystery. So this morning, I want to go to a text which talks about that. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 with me. Mark 4. And we're in verse 26. You're very familiar with verses 1 through 25. Our theme this year, Sow As You Go, Pastor G opened up, I believe, the year by preaching through many weeks on the sower and the soil. We're not in that one today. I think we got that. We're in a really tiny parable that comes after it, often gets forgotten about. That's where we're at today. We're talking about the power of the seed that sower chucks into the ground, and various things happen. So our text this morning is Mark 4, 26 to 29. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He does not himself know how. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The big idea I want to leave with you this morning is simply this in one sentence. We must believe in the power of the gospel to change lives. Do you believe in the gospel like Paul did in Romans 1:16 when he says, I believe in the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I believe that inherent inside that little gospel seed is the power to change somebody's life. And if you're sitting here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know by experience that's true. I believe in the power of the gospel. I used to be this, and now I'm this. I used to be a liar. I used to be a sinner without remorse, and now I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God who has a conscience, who wants to please God. How did that happen? The gospel. I believe in the power of the gospel to change lives. And that's what this little parable is all about. So this morning, four qualities of a sower who puts their trust solely in the seed and not in themselves. So what are the qualities? Look at number one. The Bible says that this sower is faithful. Look at verse 26. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. That's what sowers do, right? If you had a job description for a sower, it might just be get up every day and chuck seeds on the ground. How's that for a job description? That's what you do. That's what sowers do. Sowers sow. In this text, it's interesting. In this small little passage, there's six subjunctive verbs in the story. And I know I just spoke Greek to many of you. What in the world is subjunctive? A subjunctive in the Greek is simply a hypothetical reality of something that could happen. It's something that's hoped for. Can you see in the text what the author is hoping will happen? Maybe we'd explain it this way. If you work hard, you should get a raise. We live by that, right? Many of you have jobs. If you work hard, comma, you should get a raise. You should get a raise is subjunctive. That's what we hope for. I'm working hard. I'm showing up. I'm punching in early. I'm doing my job. If I work hard, comma, I should get a raise. So that's subjunctive. Here's another one. If it snows a lot, school should be canceled, right? We're hoping for that. I always did. Man, I always wanted to get the weather report the night before I went to bed so that I could anticipate whether or not I could sleep in. I know no one does that now here today, right? If it snows a lot, that's a conditional statement, then school should be canceled. How about one more? If the Pirates get a new owner, comma, they should win. Right? If the Pirates get an owner who wants to win, then, comma, they should win. That's subjunctive. It's all dependent upon if, right? So look at your Bible this morning. If a sower should cast seeds, comma, then that's the rest of the parable. What's the rest of the parable say? It's all dependent upon the faithfulness of the sower. If. Only if he reaches in and chucks those seeds, then, comma, here's what should happen. He should sleep, should rise, should sprout in the ground, the sprout should lengthen, and the harvest should come. But why would the harvest come? Because the sprout grew. And why would it grow? Because the sower cast seeds. See, it all comes back to that one statement, if. If. Here in the text, he's faithful. Don't you love faithful people who just show up, like in ministry, and you don't have to worry about it. They just show up and they're there to serve. It's a wonderful thing. We have many great faithful servants here. Here in the text, it's a faithful sower You just don't have to worry about this guy. You know, every day he's going to cast the seed. And then if that is done and that happens, then these things should take place. If faithful. But if the seed is never cast, will any of these things happen on that list? Can't. It can't. Should cast the seed is the key. The faithful Christian is called upon to do that and then go to bed and sleep well. But that's another point down the road. It's like dominoes. You ever play with dominoes and you stack them up in a row and make a neat circle with them, or put them over a book and then down off the book onto the table, and then just amazing things you do with dominoes when you line them up. But those dominoes will just sit there for days on end unless you do what? You got to take your finger and you just tip the first one. If you tip the first one, then the rest should fall. How many times have you spent like 40 minutes setting this thing up? You tip it, and it goes chick, and stops. I'm like, ah, why? But if you tip it, they all should fall. That's what the text is saying this morning to us. Are you faithful? Are you faithful in giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's really it. That's our job. You know, it's a simple job. Just tell people about Christ, right? It's not that complicated. On a piece of paper, it wouldn't take up that many words. It's just when you have opportunity, take opportunity and go share the gospel. However form that takes, in a conversation, passing some literature along, whatever. Just share the gospel. But if you don't do that, can you sleep well at night when you knew you had an opportunity and all that's asked of you is to be faithful to just one beggar telling another beggar where they can get bread? That's all this is, evangelism. If. How you doing today? Is it in your heart? Has this theme gone beyond just something we paste up on the walls each year? Has it distilled down into your heart over these many, many months this year? I hope it has. I hope it has. Honestly, about this time, November, the theme is dead. Let's face it, Pastor G and I have to work real hard to keep the theme alive. That's why I'm preaching about it today. Are you faithful in giving out the gospel when you have a chance to give out the gospel? Number two, not only is he faithful, he's confident. What's the Bible say? Verse 27, he goes to bed at night. He goes to bed. He sleeps. And sleeps quite well. Why? Because he's not confident in himself. So what I'm saying this morning is you don't have to have a higher degree of education to sow the seed, to tell people about Jesus. You don't need that. You don't need to be super eloquent to do that. You don't have to have that. You don't have to have a brand new Bible. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. You don't have to have gotten a Bible college education. You don't need all that. You don't need to have personal charisma, charm. You don't need gimmicks or any strange and funny things. You don't need to give away money to give away the gospel. And a lot of times, we feel pressure that we have to do these things. When I was a pastor in North Carolina, we tried many different things to try to share the gospel with our community with very little reward or harvest, if you will. And many different things were tried. And after a while, it gets discouraging. And you start to get this weird feeling in your gut that maybe, just maybe, we can make things more enticing for people that they want to hear the gospel. Maybe if we say it's one Sunday, you come and you can see the pastor swallow a goldfish and hear the gospel. Maybe it's Dollar Bill Sunday when you bring a friend and maybe, just maybe, where they're sitting underneath is a dollar bill or a $10 bill taped to the pew. Crazy gimmickry is gone to because we feel like the gospel just can't quite get the job done. Where you don't have confidence in the gospel, you feel like you got to repackage it to make it attractive to the unsaved. Do you ever feel that way? I mean, it's natural. It's happening all over in America where churches are turning to gimmicks. But you know, the gospel is not like a Happy Meal. A lot of times we want to give away the Happy Meal gospel. You know, who doesn't love a Happy Meal, right? You've got some kids in your car acting like the spawn of Satan in the back row there. What do you do to fix the moment? Let's whip through the drive-thru. Let's get them a Happy Meal, right? Quick fix. Hey, who doesn't like a little burger in there with some fries? And then the toy is magical. It's as if the heavens opened and just poured things into the little Happy Meal box. And you give it back to them, and it's like, huh, pure joy. Wouldn't it be great if the gospel were that way? You think that people don't like to be told that they're sinners. People don't like to hear about that there's a hell and it's eternal. That's not in vogue. That's not cool. That's not attractive. How can we repackage this thing, put it in a nice little box, and hand it to people? That's the wrong path to go. But many people are trying to repackage the gospel to make it palatable so it's like a Happy Meal. That's not what Paul says. As I recall in the scriptures, he says that the gospel is a scandal. That the gospel message that he came preaching to Corinth, chapter 2, says it's, I don't come with eloquent words. I don't come as a great speaker that you just can't wait to hear. I come giving you a very difficult message, he says. And he's not trying to whitewash it. He's not trying to make the gospel something that it's not. He's there to tell them the truth, because the truth will set them free, the Bible says. And so Happy Meal gospels is not biblical. The Bible says in Romans 1:16 that there is inherent power in the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you know why this fella in the text can lay his head on the pillow at night? Because his confidence is not in him. His confidence is not in repackaging the gospel. His confidence is in that little tiny seed, the gospel. Sleep well, my friend, if you have shared the gospel with your unsaved neighbor. Sleep well if you've been a good testimony for your employer at work. Sleep well if at family reunions you take an opportunity to share the gospel with an unsaved family member. Sleep well if you're passionate about the opportunities God gives you to share the gospel. But I think the inverse is true. Don't sleep well if you've given up an opportunity where it was right there for you to just open your mouth, one beggar telling another beggar where you can get eternal life. I think the idea is pray this into your heart. You know, for years, I was not who I should be as a sower. Just not. I don't have the gift of evangelist. I'm not. But I had to pray into my heart, God, I'm sorry, I repent. I'm not who I should be. I can do so much better, because all I got to do is just tell them how they can know Christ as Savior. I can do that. I'm not very smart, but I'm smart enough to do that. I can do that. Forgive me, God, for my sin. I'm a sinner because I have not done that. I prayed this to God. I repented. I told him I need to do better. I have to do better. But I asked God for this. I said, I need you to give me a passion for unsaved people. I really do. I need that. Else, why am I here? What's the point? The church is here to share the gospel, evangelize the lost, and teach the saved, if I could put it in a nutshell. How are we doing in evangelism? Faithful and confident in the power of the gospel. But there's a third thing, a third quality of this sower. Look at verse 27. He wakes up from his sleep, and he goes out into the field, and he starts to see an unusual thing. He starts to see sprouts. And the Bible says he doesn't understand, or he doesn't know how. Third quality of a sower is that he's humble. He's humble. Because if you realize that this really has nothing to do with you, all you did was go out there and faithfully sow. You faithfully shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're done, right? Unless they come back to you with questions or you have another opportunity, you go home, you pillow your head, and sleep really well. Because what else could you do? The idea is there's a mystery in the power of the gospel at work in someone's life. Once you release it, if you do this, if you sow, then, comma, this will happen, the Bible says. But the big question is, are you going to do it? If. We don't know, right? You have to answer that question for yourself. Are you going to do that? And if you do it, the Bible says that something will happen. Growth will take place. Verse 3, or number 3, he's humble. He doesn't understand. As a farmer stands in his field and just looks at the growth, it's like, I'm humbled by this. I did not do this. God did this. God is causing growth to happen. He's humbled by it. Can't explain it. No more than I can explain an electrical schematic. But it's happening. The seed has planted. It's germinated. The Bible says, Paul says, some people plant, some people water, but who gives the increase? God. God. He stands there and he's humbled by what he sees. I wish that were the experience I had in Bible college. We had chapel every day in Bible college. Monday morning chapel was different than other chapels. Monday morning, we would all gather in the gymnasium, and one of the college leaders would get up, and he'd ask this question. How many people led someone to Jesus Christ this weekend? Stand up. Well, I never stood up in 4 years, I don't think. But that didn't matter. Only thing that mattered was the harvest. On Monday morning in chapel. How many people led someone to Jesus Christ? You know, to this date, a handful that God has allowed me to actually lead to Christ, that they were ripe, ready for harvest. Just a handful in all these years. See, harvesting is a rare thing, right? That where you have the opportunity to sit down and someone's like, ripe fruit? Hey, just how do I get saved? I want to be saved. That moment happened in your life and someone led you to Christ, but for me, it's just rare. But Monday morning, you got no credit for being a sower. The only thing that mattered in chapel on Monday morning was, did you lead someone to Christ? That's the fun part, right? I don't think I ever stood, but I felt frustrated because I had shared the gospel that week. I had made an effort to tell someone about Jesus that week. So maybe it needed to be flipped. Maybe the question should have been, how many of you got a chance to share the gospel this week and stand to your feet? Many more people probably would have stood if that were the question. And so this whole parable is really premised upon that one thought, that if he would sow, stand to your feet. Well, he's humble. He's humbled by it. I don't understand it. It's a beautiful thing to see someone starting to take steps toward Christ. It really is. Maybe some of you have seen that. where they're like making an effort. They read the track, and maybe they want to have coffee with you now. And now maybe they come to church with you and sit with you. They're taking steps towards Christ, but they're not saved yet. But you can see some growth, that there's something happening. Something's germinating in their heart. You can't explain it. It's a mystery. But your faith is in the gospel to do its work. Doesn't the Bible say in Isaiah that my word will not come back empty? That if you release the word of God, it will come back with a harvest? Our confidence is in the gospel. He's humbled by it. And lastly, he's patient. Look at verse 28 and 29. Not only is he humble, but we have to be patient. The soil produces crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then mature grain in the head, and then the harvest. Patience. Patience. How many times have I shared the gospel with someone and said, well, Lord, how come they don't get saved? I mean, you know they need Christ. I know they need Christ. I tried my very best to be clear about the gospel, and I went A to Z on that thing. I did. I got through the whole thing with them. Why aren't they saved? What are we waiting for? You ever feel that way? I have. As I witnessed to neighbors and folks in my path, well, I know it's not your desire that any should suffer, right, and die and go to hell. Well, what are we waiting for? Maybe women feel this when they're carrying a baby for 9 months. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's just get this thing done, right? Why 9 months? You can't rush growth, right? We often wish we could. I know my wife probably wishes it would be a month and done, and boom, boom, we're done carrying babies. But 9 months, why? That's the nature of growth. You can't rush growth. Can you rush spiritual growth? Oh, no. No, you really can't. Why? That's the nature of spiritual growth. It just takes time, right? It takes time. Patience. Patience. This is the way it works. You see a sprout, then as the text said, then the blade, then the head, then the mature grain, then the harvest. Time. Faithfulness, humble faithfulness, patience, confidence in the word of God, and time, and prayer, and love, and grace, and answering questions, and taking the time to answer questions, and patience with people as they start to struggle with faith and growth. Patience. In application this morning, our calling is not to make the gospel more appealing. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think you have to stop right there and ask yourself, do I really believe that? Do I really believe that simple little message of hope through Christ has enough power to change his life, her life? Do you really, honestly, 100% buy into that proposition? You have to. Because you can't make it better. It's as good as it's going to get, and it's as good as it needs to be. And without that, we'd all be lost and no hope. Believe in the absolute power of the gospel. Keep sowing. Make it a habit of your heart that when you have opportunity, take it. And if necessary, make opportunity. Cause the opportunity to happen. I've done that too in restaurants. On purpose, I will take a magazine or a book that might be intriguing to the waitress or people walking by, and I'll put it right there on the table in plain view for them to comment on it. And at times, they have commented. So I've created a situation where now I have an opportunity to share the gospel with that stranger. Sometimes you make opportunities for the gospel. Sometimes the opportunities just hit you right in the face. You say, the Spirit is saying, right now, this is the chance. Reach in and throw the seed. It's all you got to do. And then you know what? I think you can sleep well. Sleep well knowing that as a Christian, you're doing your part in accomplishing the great commission of Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In a minute, Scott will come and lead us in a hymn. Our deacons are getting ready for communion service with Pastor Tyler. This morning, you may say that the gospel has never sprouted in my heart, but this morning I heard the message of the gospel. This morning, I want to know more about the gospel. In fact, you may say this morning, I'm in desperate need of salvation. In the quietness of your pew, would you slip your hand up and put it right back down? I'd like to pray with you, maybe talk with you. Just slip it right back up and put it right back down. I'd like to know more about the gospel. This morning, you're here and you say, you know, I'm maybe not as passionate about the gospel as I should be. Maybe I'm not as faithful as I ought to be, but I can do that much. I know I don't need to have a college education to tell someone about the gospel, and I know the gospel. Would you pray for me this morning that I'd be more faithful in sharing the gospel? Just slip your hand right up and put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You're just like me. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I do pray for anyone here that doesn't know Christ, that they wouldn't walk a step out of this building before they talk to someone about Christ. And I pray for the rest of us, for those who raised hands and for those who perhaps didn't. Lord, I think we all could say that we could be more faithful, more passionate about people dying and going to a Christless eternity. Lord, implant within us a passionate desire to share Christ with those in need, so many around us. And I pray this in the powerful, redeeming name of Jesus. Amen.